This morning's scripture we'll be reading from James chapter 3, verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's just great to be out and great to be here. And it is beautiful up here. It just looks amazing. What a great job that was done on the construction and getting everything together here. It's just really nice to look at. Really comforting and nice new carpet. Feels great. Very, very, very wonderful. So, this is a beautiful day. I've enjoyed being here to worship already with you, and it's been such a blessing. This morning we will be studying in the series on being good representatives of Christ. We're going to be talking about our speech and the way that we talk and how that's important in the way that we represent Christ in our lives. Have you ever, been in a situation and you felt like you just knew the right thing to say? And what the way that it came out and the way that you were able to communicate it and express it was just exactly the right way that you wanted to, and it came across well, and you were satisfied with what you said. What is that like? I imagine it feels really good. Hopefully someday I'll get to experience that myself. Because I'm teasing a little bit. But it just seems like the times where we don't express ourselves the way that we want to are always the times that we remember. And it's really, when I sit and think about, my life, there's so many examples of times I wish I had just kept quiet or said things a different way. As the passage that was read for us states, if you're able to control the things that you say, you really are a perfect person. James wrote very clearly, if you can control your tongue, then you've got everything mastered. And of course, we all realize no one's perfect except for Christ. So we're all going to have times where we've said things that we shouldn't say, and more than likely, times in the future where we'll say things that we regret saying. So the purpose isn't to be extra down on ourselves. We could all do that, and again, if you're like me, you've done that to yourself before. But it's to try to look at God's word as an encouragement, has a pattern that we can strive for, and to study how important our speech is, and then to take something from it and try to be better servants, try to be better representatives of Christ. So I wanted to begin by thinking about the importance of the things that we say. So you've probably heard actions speak louder than words, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. We certainly can't be saying one thing and then living our lives as another. Jesus told a parable about two sons in Matthew chapter 21, and one son was asked to go work in the vineyard. And he answered, "I will not," but afterward he felt guilty about it, and then he changed his mind and went and did it. And the other answered, I will go," but then didn't go. And so we see here this kind of difference of, saying the right thing, but then actually following through with the right thing. Our actions are certainly important. When Jesus addressed the Pharisees, who were being hypocrites, in Matthew 15:8, he talks about a people that honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So everything that we study this morning, of course, about the way that we talk, is not to forget that our actions and our lifestyle have to go along with that. And really, the things that we say are an action unto themselves, I think. Maybe we sometimes look at actions and words as like kind of these two very distinct categories. And in a way they are. But I think that they're more connected than we'd like to think. Like the things that we say, that's our choices. That's our actions. So we are going to primarily be looking at James chapter 3. And I'm going to begin in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If you're able to completely control the things that you say, then you're a perfect person. And of course, we know all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know we have a weakness, and so again, I think we just need to approach it with the conviction that we can do better, and the conviction that we can look at what God has taught us and be better servants. You may have heard the phrase, speaking about what James is going to get into next, the tail wagging the dog. Have you ever heard of that phrase? Not one I'm super familiar with, but I thought of it in reference to what James is talking about with the tongue. And when I was looking into it, well, I kind of wanted to make sure I kind of knew what it meant, because I'd heard that phrase and I thought I kind of knew what it was, so I kind of looked it up. Just an interesting aside, it believed to have originated with a play called My American Cousin, which was actually the play that Abraham Lincoln was watching on the night that he was killed. But it's this phrase, the tail wagging the dog, that there's this, small aspect of something that's controlling the larger system. And that's like not the way that it should go, right? The dog wags his tail, not the other way around. But in some cases, there's, this tiny principle or this tiny part of something that's having an outsized control over the larger whole. And I thought of that as we look at James chapter 3, verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And I just think that's such a, of course it's the Word of God, but it's just such a clear illustration of the way our mouths, our tongues, our speech can have an effect on us. It's like you can put a bridle in the mouth of a horse and control this entire animal. And you think about what that is, it's a relatively small thing, and there's this huge beast that you can control with just that one thing, or a ship controlled by just a tiny rudder. And James tells us that the tongue is like that. It may seem like this, tiny part of you, but it just represents so much of what goes out into the world. And the example, a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And that is just so true that, just this tiny spark can set such, destruction in its wake. And, when I was reading about this and looking up some examples of, large fires that were started by just tiny things and things that, don't seem like a huge destructive act in the moment, but it starts something really, really terrible and overwhelming. And then in verse 6, James writes, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Now, it's that doesn't get a whole lot more illustrative than that. That's a pretty clear statement about, you know, what our tongue can do. And, you know, referencing animals and how hard, we have a couple dogs, which are kind of domesticated animals, and you would think like, oh yeah, you know, you just train them. We maybe not have done the best job, but like, you know, all animals, you have to break them, and you have to train them diligently, and, you know, they can be wild and they can be stubborn. And so I think when I think about my speech, my mouth, I can see the relationship. Because sometimes I'll say things and I'll just instantly be like, why couldn't you just keep your mouth closed, you know? And it's just like, sometimes my mouth can just be so stubborn. And, you know, I've done it 1,000 times and I still keep doing it. And it just, that picture of this just like, you know, undomesticated animal that's just wild and does things and is stubborn. Unfortunately, I can relate to that. And that last statement, you know, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It's a reminder why we're taught elsewhere in Scripture, you know, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, that's a very, you know, harsh picture of our tongues and the way that we talk. And it may seem a little hopeless initially, say, listen, you can't tame your tongue. Everybody makes mistakes with it. But the intent isn't to make us give up or to feel helpless or overwhelmed or, you know, just completely guilty all the time and, you know, beating ourselves up. It is to help us understand, I think, the gravity and the severity of the things that we say so that we can be mindful of them. Continuing James 3, verse 9. With it, speaking about the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. I mean, again, wow. I mean, to think about, you know, that same instrument that we use to sing praises to God, to glorify Him, to confess His name, to tell people that we love them. You know, we then turn around and use that to, you know, use profanity, to gossip, to tell coarse jokes. You know, it's really sad. And James continues, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And I think looking at that, I want to be known as somebody producing fresh water, good fruit in the things that I say. And again, the intent isn't to make anyone feel guilty or to, you know, fixate on the mistakes that we've made, but just as a reminder that we all need from time to time, that our speech is very important. And even a momentary lapse can set that blaze going. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, there's another analogy here that always kind of stuck with me, which I think is kind of weird because it's not a particularly relatable analogy. You know, there's some things that we read about where it's like, oh yeah, that analogy is about baseball. Well, I really like baseball. I can understand that analogy. This one is not something I know anything about, but it's a very impactful way of thinking about it. Ecclesiastes 10:1, dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The fly in the ointment. And you can have this beautiful perfume, but just one thing, one folly, destroys the whole thing. And unfortunately, that's the reality of life. We can be honorable and respectful and kind 1,000 times, and then have one moment where we say something we shouldn't have said. And that, a lot of times, just in people's minds, cancels out all the others. And it's not necessarily fair. I'm not saying that's right. I hope that I would be forgiving towards people and not be like that. But, we know that that's kind of the case. I think that's what the Ecclesiastes writer is telling us. Like, those mistakes that you make, you have to be careful, because they can stain a reputation. It may not be fair, but it's reality. And we can probably go through examples of people, maybe people who are like famous, and we can automatically come to mind, gaffes that they've made, mistakes that they've done, things they've said that were embarrassing. And that may be the first thing that comes to our mind ahead of a lot of other things. And it's not just in that broad scope. There are probably people in our lives who maybe have said one thing to us, or one time said something, and if we're honest, that kind of has an outsized impact on the way we feel about them. So hopefully we can use this as an opportunity to kind of reflect on that and to realize, I've done that. And I hope that the person would be willing to be gracious and forgive me and overlook it. And going back again to that idea that everybody stumbles in the way that they talk, we all will. All we can do is confess and repent. There's no way to take those words and put them back in your mouth. It'd be really nice if there was. I'd have a mouthful, believe me. But I say that because, again, I don't want this to be a lesson of fixating on things you said. All we can do is confess and repent. That's what we're commanded to do. We can look at those examples and we can say, you know what? I'm going to do better the next time. I learned something from that. And now, through that, we become more cautious and more slow to speak. And it would be a mistake to not mention that all those things that we've talked about, that we confess, that we repent, for Christians, those have been washed clean. And Christ's blood is perfect to wash them away. And, to really think about that, for me to sit there and continually go over my mistakes in my mind, when Christ's blood has washed them clean, when God has forgiven me, when I've repented of those things, it's kind of a waste of my effort. And I don't say that to try to, vindicate myself or anything. I believe that when God forgives us, He forgives us. And He wants us to repent and move on and be able to go out in the world and do better. And as I was preparing, I'll admit, I found this section a little delicate, because I do want to express, as I think God teaches us, to be very mindful of the things that we say and to treat it extremely importantly, and to recognize I can do better and I need to do better. But at the same time, I don't want these encouragements from Scripture that we have to examine our speech and to be mindful and have them become millstones that we hang around our neck, these past sins that we have sought forgiveness for, where we fixate on them, and then that becomes something that separates us from doing the will of God. Our adversary wants us to be distant from God. He doesn't want us to feel close. He doesn't want us to feel connected. He doesn't want us to feel joyful in the forgiveness of Christ. And if he can get us to kind of indulge in our speech and speak out and say rude things to separate us from God, he will. I also think he would be satisfied in just getting us discouraged by trapping us and having us be demoralized about past mistakes that have already been forgiven. So that's why I think there's always, you know, an encouraging side to this as Christians, that even as we examine our mistakes and we try to do better, we know we have the forgiveness of Christ. So how can we better equip ourselves to not let our impulses dictate the way that we speak? We referenced earlier that Jesus accused the Pharisees of hypocrisies in Matthew 15, and he told them that they were worshiping with their mouth, but their hearts were far from him. The Pharisees were concerned that Christ's disciples were not following the traditions that they had of washing their hands. And so Jesus continues in Matthew 15, verse 10. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" I think that's an interesting way of bringing it to him. Like, do you realize you offended them when you said that? He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what goes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, faultless, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in our heart is what will be coming out of our mouth. I remember long ago I heard somebody tell me, I don't even remember when or where or who, but they said, you know, when you look at the way Jesus spoke in Scripture, a lot of times he was quoting Scripture, that what was coming out of his heart was the things that were in there. He was filling himself with the Word of God, with righteousness, and that's what came out. It's probably not possible, or maybe, I don't know, for us to completely avoid hearing things that are negative, things that are profane. If we're ever out and around people in the world, as we need to be to spread the gospel, we probably will hear things that we wish we hadn't heard. So maybe we can't completely cut that off. And again, I say things I shouldn't say. Anyone who's around me will hear something at some point that I wish I hadn't said. I think we're all like that. We all say things we shouldn't say. So even if you're hanging around Christians, you might hear something you shouldn't hear once in a while. But I think that we do have some control over exposing ourselves to things that we don't want in our heart so that they don't come out of our mouths. Landon Wright, who is the youth and family minister at Fishinger Road, either last week or the week before recently, talked about how when he speaks to the young people, you know, he tells them, like, you know, sometimes you'll have a thought or you'll hear something. And you don't always really, you know, we can't always just block off everything, but you can control the things that you dwell on. And I thought that was a really good way of putting it. Like, we may be exposed to things that we don't want in our heart, but we can choose not to dwell on them. A long time ago, I heard somebody use the analogy that You know, you may not be able to prevent a bird from landing on your head, but you can choose to not let it sit there. And I think that that's the way it is with these thoughts and these evil things, whatever it is. If it's greed, jealousy, lust, profanity, you know, unclean jokes, we may not be able to always control what somebody says around us, but we can control not dwelling on them and not letting them sit in our hearts so that our heart soaks it up like a sponge. And then, you know, if it's in our hearts, what you squeeze out of a sponge is what went into the sponge. And so we as Christians, I need to think about what am I putting into my heart? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, as we close. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That tells me I need to be mindful of the things that I say, and slow to speak far more often than I am. But to truly close, I'm so grateful for Christ's blood, for the sacrifice that He made. Because I believe that faithful Christians on that day will have an advocate in the Son who will step forward and say, this person, this is one of mine. They were washed in my blood. And I have taken the penalty for all the careless words that this person has used. Without that, I know I have no hope, and none of us do. If we're ever unsure what to say, think about the Bible. If we're speaking Scripture, if we speak where God speaks, if we fill our hearts with the good things, then we know that's what will come out. And we can always pray for that wisdom and for that self-control, that we can use our speech as something to uplift, to glorify God, and to bring others to Christ. This morning, if you have a need, if you want to be baptized into His blood to have your sins forgiven, that opportunity is here for you. If you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we stand ready to pray with you and help you if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.